Folks, this morning we come together. Oh, I've got two microphones on the go here, I think. We come together again to celebrate this story. As Johnny said to us this morning, sometimes whenever we read these Christmas stories over and over and over again, sometimes they can seem a little bit boring. Yes, Jared, I've heard this story time and time again. But this morning I want us to come with fresh hearts, with open eyes, with open hearts to what the Lord wants to speak to us this morning about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we come to your word this morning, help us, Father, to have those open ears to hear. Help us to have the hearts to be able to respond to you in a new way this Christmas time. May we see you in all of your glory. May we, as we read the shepherd's story this morning, may we see this in a new way. May you speak to us through the words that you have me say this morning, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. With this magnificent declaration that John chapter 1 begins, John's statement succinctly sets forth the Christian doctrine of the incarnation. That God comes to meet us in the ordinary. God comes to meet us in our messy lives. And God comes to meet us in the sin that we find ourselves in. Human beings, maybe you, maybe I, have thought about this before, but is God distant or near to us? Is he powerful? Is he gentle? Is he unapproachable? Or is he welcoming? Philosophers for many decades, centuries, have speculated. Religions have reached upwards. Humanity guesses time and time again. But in the incarnation that we read, in the story of God coming to us, God doesn't leave us guessing. You see, the God we serve is a God who is able to be known here today. A God who is full of love, a God who is full of mercy, a God who is full of forgiveness and has so much forgiveness that will forgive each and every one of us if we just call upon his name. And he is the God that has come here for you and for me. In Luke 2, God chooses to show up. He chooses to be seen for the very first time, not in abstract ideas or distant signs, but in flesh and blood, wrapped in cloth and lying in the manger. That baby Jesus, that scene that we see every Christmas time. The invisible God makes himself known. The unknowable God makes himself known. And this is the wonder of the incarnation, that God shows up to each and every one of us. God doesn't wait until life is calm, until it's organized. He enters in the middle of our routine. He enters in the middle of tiredness, where those shepherds were out in the fields and they were counting their sheep and they were tired and it was a mundane job that they had. And he enters into your darkness. You see, one of the shepherds that we met there this morning, he wasn't seeking God, but God was seeking him. And that this morning is grace. The incarnation tells us of a God who takes the first move. He steps into our world before we ever step towards him. And Luke tells us in these words that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. There was nothing remarkable about these shepherds. There was no choirs rehearsing every Wednesday night, week after week after week, for some special announcement. There was no anticipation of angels. They were just ordinary men doing their very mundane jobs. They were probably freezing that night. They were probably half asleep. Maybe some of them were thinking, if I have to count another sheep, I don't know what I'm going to do. But the incarnation, the eternal Son of God, taking on human flesh, it's not announced in palaces, it's not announced in temples, but in a dirty old field. Not to kings, not to scholars, but to these simple shepherds. And the glory of God breaks down into the shadows of ordinary life, into the mundane. And this morning, as we return to this familiar story, I want us to slow down again, to recover that wonder of the incarnation, the awe behind it, the mystery behind it, the staggering grace which is open for me and for you, as we think about God becoming man for me and for you. I think we often try and rush Christmas. Yes, we've had 4 weeks of that wailing time of Advent. We can't wait until we can get our Christmas presents open. We can't wait until our bellies are full of turkey. Whose bellies are full of turkey this morning? And don't want to see another piece of turkey until next year again? That's me. But I want us to wait this morning, to pause and to wonder at this story for just a little moment. You've heard it all before that these shepherds weren't the most romantic figures in first century Israel. They were socially insignificant. They were considered unreliable. They were ceremonially unclean. They lived on the outer margins of society and they kept themselves to themselves. And many times, if not all of the times, they were overlooked and people just passed on by. Yet they are the first people that are invited to meet the incarnate Son of God. The shepherds were the ones to see him in the flesh for the first time. John said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Paul says, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. In Jesus, God doesn't remain distant. He moves into your neighborhood, just as the Message translation says. He enters into your world, into your weakness, into your vulnerability. The wonder is not that God just became human. It's that God became human for each and every one of us. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Would you not have been terrified if you were out in that field? If an angel appeared to you? Sometimes we look at this story and we think it's just a fairy tale. But this is the Word of God. An angel came into the sky to bring a message for all people. Fear is a natural response to divine holiness. The shepherds were immediately terrified. When holiness collides with humanity, fear is an only natural response. But the angel's first words are not of condemnation, but they're of comfort. They say, do not be afraid. And those words, do not be afraid, they've been described as the heartbeat of the incarnation. God comes near to us, not to destroy sinners, but to save us. Not to crush the fearful, but to calm us. Not to shame the lowly, but to lift them up. The incarnation means that God is not against us, but instead he is for us and he is with us. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Listen to these words. Every single word that the angel says matters. Today, that's the angel saying that God is acting right this very minute. A Savior tells the whole story that we need a Savior, that we need rescuing from our sins. Born to you, this is a personal thing. It's not just for those that are in high ranking. It's not for those who are rich and that live in palaces. Born to you, this is for each and every one of us. This message is for us all. And then they say, Messiah the Lord, that this Christ child, this one born in a lowly manger, is the King and is God himself. The wonder of the incarnation is that the Savior is born, not sent as an angel, not descending as a powerful, mighty warrior, but arriving as a tiny little baby in the simplest of ways. And then the angel goes on to say, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's going to be the sign. There was no thunder, there was no fire, there was no armies that he came with, there was no loud warrior cries. Instead, there it was, a baby in a feeding trough. You know, we often associate glory with spectacle and grandeur. We associate glory with palaces and kings and queens, but God associates glory with humility, a sign not impressive by human standards. But the incarnation teaches us that God's greatest work often comes clothed in smallness. I think we often miss God's glory when we only look for what is loud, what is polished, and what is powerful. Are we missing what God wants to say to us because we're looking for these amazing grand things? God could have come with force. He could have come with spectacle. He could have come with fearsome authority. But instead, he came as a Christ child in that manger. The incarnation tells us this morning that the true power is not displayed through domination, but through self-giving love. The love of a God who sent his Son into the world to die for us. That manger, we may think, might have been a mistake, but it wasn't. It was the message. God stepped low enough into this world so that we could approach him without terror, without trembling. Remember what the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." Then the angel goes on to say, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and with the angel praising God. At this point, after the message has been delivered, heaven can't contain itself. It spills over. Heaven erupts. The angels can no longer stay silent. The birth of Jesus is not just a human event, but it's now a cosmic event. And notice what they go on to say. They say, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." At this point, the incarnation reunites heaven and earth. Peace is now possible because God has come to join us where we are. Peace is now possible because all sin will be dealt with. Peace is now possible because that baby in the manger will one day stretch out his arms on that cross. Sin fractured the relationship between God and humanity, and the incarnation begins the process of healing. The incarnation, if it hadn't have been for God sending Jesus into this world, we would still be in the state that we find ourselves in at the beginning of Genesis. And so with this message, the shepherds, they don't get together in a meeting and decide in a vote and go, "Who wants to go to Bethlehem? Who wants to go to Bethlehem?" You know, and try and take a majority vote. They don't sit around and ponder the idea. They don't debate. They don't delay. But instead, they go straight away. Scripture tells us, they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." There was no delay. Their response was to move. The wonder of the incarnation brought about movement. And faith begins with obedience by them saying, "Yes, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this Christ child." They leave their flocks in the field. They leave the familiar that they're used to. They go and see what God has done. The incarnation involves us not just, or tells us not just to believe, but we must also come and see. And when the shepherds finally arrive in that lowly little stable, Luke says they find Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in a manger, exactly as the angel had promised. God's word for the shepherds in that moment in time proves trustworthy. Are we, whenever we read Scripture, are we reading it knowing that it is to be trusted? That we can trust every word that God said? And then whenever the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. They were the very first evangelists. The shepherds, the incarnation turns the ordinary people into witnesses. They don't have theological training. They haven't went to presbytery or to college for 4 or 5 years to get a collar around their neck. They had an encounter, and they seen Jesus, and they had something to say. And they went into the towns and they ran back praising God for everything that had been told to them about this child. And Mary, she sat there and she treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. You see, I want us to see this incarnation story this morning as having two responses that we can have to it. We can either go out and proclaim to the world about who God is, or we can sit and we can contemplate about the wonder of what has happened, about God coming into this world for me and for you. Some of us here this morning, maybe it's a challenge for you that we need to go into this world and we need to speak more boldly, just like the shepherds, of what God has done for you and for me. For some of us, maybe we need to sit more quietly in awe and ponder about what God has done for us. And let me tell you, both of those are acts of worship. Mary holds that mystery close. She doesn't rush past it. She sits and reflects. And the incarnation invites us to slow down long enough just to be amazed at what this story is all about. The shepherds, they go back to their fields, but they're not the same. They're changed. The incarnation does not remove us from our ordinary life. We still have to go through the mundane everyday tasks, but it transforms us in how we live. If you and I are believers today, then we should, just like the shepherds, return to our works in maybe a week's time and go with joy, go with praise, and go with wonder. See, we live in a world that has commercialized Christmas terribly. We have manger scenes without mystery. We have carols without awe. We have familiar words without trembling hearts. But the incarnation itself is not tame. The eternal God has entered time. The holy God has taken on flesh. The unreachable God has come down to me and to you. If you've ever wondered this morning if God sees you, just look at those shepherds out in the fields. If you've ever wondered whether God understands you, then just look at that tiny little baby. If you've ever wondered whether God loves you, then you look at the manger and then you look ahead to that cross where Jesus himself stretched out his arms and says, I love you this much. I love you this much. May we this Christmas time, like the shepherds, may we go and see. May we hurry and not delay. May we, like Mary, treasure and ponder. May we, like the angels, praise without restraint. Is that what you're going to do this morning? And finally, may we never lose our wonder at the truth that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this story of the shepherds. We thank you, Lord, that because you came to be with us, that the healing process began. We thank you, God, for sending Jesus into this world. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to be the rescuer, the Lamb of God who will take away our sins. And as we think about the shepherds this morning, we think about how tenderly you care for us and look after us. And we pray, Lord, that each of us this Christmas time, as we start to think about the new year, as we start to think about new beginnings, we pray, Lord, this morning that if there's anybody in here this morning that doesn't know you yet as our Lord and Savior, that maybe this morning may be the chance for them to see you in a real and new way. Father, may each of us know that you have come into this world for each of us. May we know that because of what you have done, that we can be set free from our sins. So, Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for giving us endless second chances. May we go and tell this world outside, proclaim with our mouths, may we ponder in our hearts about how amazing and awesome you are. So, Lord, be with us this morning. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.